Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Jennifer Copaz-Rose.
And it's the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast for the needlework artists.
Yep, being artisty.
We have so much stuff going on. Not going to take a lot of time to go through it all, but we have so much stuff going on. we have the Marion Lang chart and kit. Now, that is no longer free, but still available at wetalkfiber.com/Lang. And /Lang kit will get you the kit. And then the Mary Jane Fry one, also at Sassy Jack's, MJF 1861 and MJF 1861 kit. And then the Spring Hill sampler at Needle in a Haystack. Yep, so /Spring Hill gets you that one. And then the Botany Bay sampler from Brendan and Karen Kirk, Linen and Threads. That is available at Sassy Jack's. And also is available at the Attic. That's the Attic sampler of the month for last month, if I believe I have that right. But anyway, so Gene will have kits there at the Attic along with Kim at Sassy Jack's for the Botany Bay sampler. That's a good one. Beth and I are going to do that one. I'm waiting on my stuff right now, and Beth, I think, was picking out threads the other day. So we're going to do that. And then we started the new one Sunday with our show with Joanna Kabanoff of Mojo Stitches, and that is Take Wing, Joanna's Take Wing sampler. Oh, that's a good one. And yeah. So that is wetalkfiber.com/wing. And there Kim has four or five different setups, kits, with two of them with Ada and two with Linen. I believe how it goes. I just pulled one out, the 37-count Russian tea cake. That's the one I'm doing. 37-count Russian tea cake. That kit with threads is $26, and then the chart is $17. So you get the kit for $33. Now, there are some DMC and some overdye threads that are not in the kit. So you're on your own for those, but a good chance you have those in your stash, so it really wouldn't add to the cost. But $33 to do a sampler on linen is really, really
yeah,
economical.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Russian tea cake is what I'm using on Spring Hill.
It's so nice, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's very nice.
Yeah. So that so we're all doing that. You're doing that one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So all three of us are doing that. I'm doing mine on the Russian tea cake 37 count. I don't know what you're doing. We haven't sorted you out yet.
No.
But we will. So right. Check that out. That is really a good one.
Whatever.
From Joanna Kabanoff. And then check out the show Sunday to learn more from Joanna. She's a terrific talent. We're going to hear a lot more from her in the future. I am more than confident. A lot of talent there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So very economical for that one. And Kim, the cottage garden threads. There's some specialty threads in there, cottage garden threads that come from Australia. And so Kim took those, ordered those and got them. And then to keep the cost down, what she has done is broken up the skeins, which is not her normal approach. But she's broken up the skeins so that you get more than enough to stitch the chart but don't have to pay for the skeins because the thread is fairly expensive. So by doing that, she's able to get it down to $26 for the thread and the linen, and make it really economical to do this terrific chart. And I'm sure Kim will be happy to order you the full skeins of threads if you want them, but you really don't need them, and you'll just save a ton of money. So
So is that the same thread she was talking about on the show?
Yes, the cottage garden threads, yep.
Right, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, right. that she couldn't get. Yeah, she couldn't get thread she wanted during the pandemic, and then they had this local thread maker who she liked their stuff, so we get to use that. It's beautiful thread. I have some.
I even really like the flower, the one that's similar to the bird one, but it's the flowers.
Yes,
I forget what it's called.
Her
I really
other
like
one
that one too.
Bushland Quaker series it is.
You go, because it's the flowers of Australia.
Right.
Which, they're really pretty and unique and fun.
Yeah, on both of those, the flower one and then the Take Wing, if you go to Joanna Kavanaugh's blog, then she has pictures of all the wildlife, the actual pictures of like birds and flowers that she includes in there. So you can see what she used for inspiration for each of the motifs. It's very cool.
Yeah.
So check that out too. Yeah. Nice. So you can, so then as you're stitching them, you can relate to what you're stitching in the real world and the wildlife. So yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, that's, you know, just an added bonus. I love when designers do that kind of thing and give that tie into the inspiration. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all coming up. All coming up. Now tonight, it's going to be Beth and Jennifer and me stitching and chatting. I have some pictures from people. I say I have them, but I really need to dig them out of emails and sort them out. people who have finished projects that we'll take a look at that are really nice.
Oh,
and
nice.
So we'll just talk and that.
Cool.
Let's see what else we got. Oh, so Sunday. Do not miss Sunday. I say that every week, don't I? Yeah.
But it's true every week.
Susan K. Williams and Jackie McDonald from the Royal School of Needlework. It's a really, had a great conversation with them talking about the things that they have implemented, the online things they've implemented during the pandemic and how many of them they're going to continue on. And it's quite interesting and exciting because basically what this pandemic has done and will do is open up the Royal School of Needlework to everyone around the world without having to go to Hamilton Court Palace. It's really exciting because that bastion of needlework, I think anybody who knows about it would love to go there one day and just spend do a week there. The pandemic is has put them in a position just so they could stay in business during the pandemic. But now they're going to carry that on, and it's going to really effectively, the school will be accessible to anyone who wants to participate from around the world to do it right from your house. So that's really exciting. And then on top of that is this new stitch bank that they're working on that we'll talk about. Jackie McDonald is heading up that project, massive project to put together a database of video and photos and descriptions and charts of stitches from all over the world. Massive project. And
yeah.
So we talk about that too. So it's a really informative show Sunday. And I think the Stitch Bank is fantastic. But I think even more exciting is that if you want to, in the future now, if you want to do things with the Royal School, you're gonna be able to do them and get their instruction.
Wow.
You know, just think about that. You know.
Yeah, because I mean, even they do have the correspondence courses over here, but you still have to go to the location.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the most exciting things in the last couple of years is that, in terms of regular folk, you know, folk who don't have money to travel to London and spend 2 weeks, money and or time. And now, I mean, it's going to be accessible. So it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So we talk about it. It's fun. All right. Now, we finished another month.
Yes.
And you have been doing the WIPGO thing since the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been keeping an eye on you because,
yeah.
I've said this before. I thought it was just kind of a silly gimmick when you started.
Mm-hmm.
But I've gone 180 degrees. This thing, I mean, it really is paying off for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's working. It's keeping me doing projects and picking ones up that I would maybe just not touch for years. You know, because I really went through when I made out my WIPGO board, I went through and looked at everything that I had started.
Yeah.
That was just sitting around half done and put them on there. I'm like, you're going to at least touch it for 7 days out of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and sometimes when you start work, say you stop working on something because something else caught your eye, or maybe you got frustrated. You've given it time and you go back to it and suddenly it catches your interest again. And maybe you do more than the minimum that you set for your goal.
Mm-hmm.
you know, which I've done too. So
so that has happened to you then. You instead of just doing enough to keep it going, the energy got fired up and you've been doing more. Oh, that's great.
And then like some of my smaller bits, like those berries, the Erica Michaels berries, 12 berries of Christmas. Even though I, you know, maybe done the 7 hours or whatever, I'll just finish it because it's little, you know, finish it.
Yeah.
So, or the cottages, you know, you finish the cottage, whether, you know, you're going to go past my little 7 hours that I gave myself. And everybody sets their own goal. You decide what your goal is.
Yeah. Now, have you been, have you been forcing yourself to stick to it, or have you given yourself at least a little leeway?
I've pretty much been making sure that I stick to it. The only month that I had a problem was March because, you know, headaches and stuff, and because I didn't feel good because of that. So I didn't, I did work on my projects, but I didn't get my full seven, you know, 1 hour a day for 7 days in. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
And a couple of those projects, one was the butterfly lace mandala, which was very, you know, you really have to look at the chart and look where you're stitching and look at the chart. So that was eye intensive.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was an over one, and it was also a super intensive chart.
Yeah.
So those two, you know, it just was unlucky for them that they got picked on that month and that I felt the way I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if it had been something that was bigger and more simple, it probably wouldn't have been as much of a problem. But so, I didn't get a lot of stitching done on anything that month.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It was the entire month you just didn't feel quite
right. I did some crochet and stuff, but I didn't. It was not happening.
Yeah. So how many that have been sitting around, unfair question, but how many that have been sitting around for a long time have you finished or have you made significant progress on that you probably wouldn't have?
Well, like that Catherine sampler, the one that has the bands.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
That one, I got a lot more done on that one than I normally would have because usually I do a band and I'm done.
Yeah.
But that one, because I was forcing myself to stick to my goal, and then I wasn't going to leave a band half finished. I finished the band.
But yeah, band samplers will do that, won't they? Yeah, can't leave it half finished, right?
No, you have to finish it out. And then I was glad to put it away. Uh-huh. It's like, you're going back in the closet for a while. I need some space.
But you made progress on it. So.
Oh, I made way more progress than I would have made if I just pulled it out and just stitched on it a little. I would have put it away, you know, a couple bands earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't have gotten nearly as much done.
Right.
So
for people who, you know, we're doing this as if everyone knows. I hate when people do that. So we just did that one very thing as if everyone knows all about this. Describe how this WIPGO thing works.
Well, there's a Facebook group called WIPGO. And like for this year, it's WIPGO 2021. And I don't even remember the name of the girl who runs it, but it's run by someone. She runs the group. And the beginning of every month, so what you do is you set up a bingo board. It's bingo, basically. So you have 5 by 5 rows, 5 across, 5 down.
Okay.
And you pick projects and you stick them in each little number area, you know, each little square. And what I did is I went through and I picked, and you can pick whatever you want. It's whatever you want to do. But I decided that I was going to pick all my WIPs and stick them in the squares so that I worked on everything that I had started.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went through and I put them all in. And then some of them, I kind of ran out of WIPs. So I'm like, all right, well, then take some of the big ones and put them in again.
Oh, you know, okay. I see.
You know, so you're not going to finish it. So like pandemic's in there twice. And I think the butterfly lace one's in there twice. Some of them are in there twice. And so then you decide what you want to be your goal. My goal is work on each project one hour a day for 7 days. Doesn't have to be 7 days in a row, but 7 days during the month.
Okay.
So, and that's not a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know, March, I couldn't even manage that. So.
Right. So then so you have this bingo board with these things laid out, and then what is the administrator? What's her role? Does she roll the dice and say this?
Yeah, she picks the numbers and tells everybody, so this month it's going to be these two numbers. Let's see, where do I have my bingo board for this month? Here it is. So this month is the Berry Bowl sampler and Pandemic. So I'll work on Pandemic again.
Okay, so she picks two numbers, and then you go to your little bingo board, and you say, those are the two I'm working on this month, an hour, and then you set the goal an hour a day, 7 days.
Right, and some people are like, get to, you know, if they're doing some big thing with a motif, get like two large motifs done. Or maybe they're almost done with something. They'll be like, finish it. You know, so it's whatever you want to pick for your goal. Or sometimes it's, you know, work on it for 10 days straight or.
Yeah. Now, whatever. Is it standard Facebook group show pictures of your progress kind of thing?
Yeah. You're supposed to take a before picture and then an after picture and post. And you can even post progress throughout the month if you want. And they do these like weekend challenges and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I've not done that. My participation is I have the board and I work on what I, you know, there is more participation, but I haven't participated.
Yeah. Well, what you're doing is working for you. It's been difference making for you. Yeah.
Right. It's getting me through my WIPs and working on things that I have sitting in the closet that I would otherwise forget about.
Right.
And I went through my craft room and looked in all my cubbies where I store stuff and looked, what do I have? Oh yeah, there's that one. Okay. Put that one down.
Right. Okay. So that's good. Cause you know, people like me who have several going and I don't have any structure to it at all. It's just what I feel like. And lately I've hardly done any stitching because life, but what I'm seeing in this is not, I want to say structure, but when you say structure, it just has this connotation of rigid, follow the rules kind of thing. It's given you some structure with flexibility that has kind of just semi-organized you.
It's like a guidance.
Yeah.
Just a little guidance system.
Yeah.
You know, so while I'm doing the things that I'm like, ooh, I want to do that. And ooh, I want to do that. It's like, yeah, but remember this over here, work on this a little bit and work on that a little bit.
Well, that's true. It's working. I know that's the cool thing is it's working for you. And, I mean, I've seen it now. Because, like I said, I thought it was just a silly gimmick, and I've seen the progress. I mean, you have really made good progress on several projects, and a little bit jealous here because you really, you know, well, you have. I mean, it's been a difference making. So
yeah, you can make a WIPGO board and join in anytime.
Yeah, and that's the other thing I was going to say. There's no start or stop. You can just jump in at any point.
Yeah, just make your WIPGO board, and you know, there's numbers that have already been called. But say you get done with your goals for the two for the month, go to some of the numbers that have been called already and work on those. Yeah. You know.
So the group is WIPGO, WIPGO?
Right.
Okay.
WIPGO 2021.
Okay. So people can find
that.
That's
what it is. Right.
Well, that's just been great. Yep. Now I want to talk about, you're working on the Berry Bowl sampler.
Mm-hmm.
Now that was at the last Nashville show. That was one of the hits. A collaboration with Beth Twist at Heartstring Samplery and Tanya Brockmeyer at Scarlet House, where they did this sampler collaboration. It was talked about a lot, very popular. So you're working on that, but you've discovered, and it's really cool. So tell about, because it's an interesting approach that these two took to put this design together.
Yeah, So one hat, so it's on two different pieces of linen that are sewn together in the middle. Yeah. And I am doing it that way. You don't have to do it that way if you don't want to. That's like, oh my gosh, I can't do that. Just do it on one piece of linen. It's fine. But I'm doing it with the two pieces. And one thing that I noticed when I, you know, you look at it and you're like, wow, that looks really impressive and stuff on the front. And it uses all the overdyed flosses, weeks, and some gentle arts, and a couple of, what's that other brand? Classic Colorworks?
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's Classic Colorworks. And and it has a DMC conversion too, if you want to do that. So the chart, you know, you look at it and it looks all super fancy, and it is really impressive and fancy. But when you look at the chart, it's very straightforward. It's lots of just blocks of color. So it lends itself to that meditative stitching in a way. Because like the baskets will just be rows, like one row of color and then a row of a second color. And then and they just stripe. So all you have to do is get your first line in and then just watch how it tapers in, and you can just stitch, stitch, stitch. And it's meditative.
So you don't have to look at the chart at all then?
No, not really. Yeah. And then like, say, you know, you're looking at one bowl and you fill in even the greenery part around the berries. It's got a pattern to it.
Uh-huh.
And then once you get that part filled in, all you have left, especially in the middle, is holes where the berries are. All you do is just fill in.
Hmm. So this great big sampler that looks like a massive reproduction sampler, it's original design, but massive reproduction sampler look that, you know, people will take an entire year to do is in the final analysis, meditative stitching.
Yeah.
To a degree, of course. Yeah.
Right. I mean, you have to, you know, get the basic shakedown, but there's a lot of it where it's intuitive. You just look at it and you're just like, oh, it just angles in there, and you just go straight down and across. Very meditative, and reminded me of the Krista West things,
right,
where the pattern is just repeated and repeated and repeated.
Yep.
And then especially those berries, you get the outline filled in, which is also repetitive.
Right.
And then you just fill the berries in with the color. So it looks really, really impressive. I'm like, oh, wow. But it's really quite manageable. And I'd even say a beginner.
Really?
I would totally give this to a beginner to do. Oh, yeah.
Just because of that, because everything is repetitive.
Oh, yeah. Right. Because there's no confetti stitching. There's no complicated, weird, you know, weird paths you have to figure out and stuff. I would definitely give this to a beginner to do.
Because it does not look like that at all. At all.
Yeah. No, I know it doesn't. It looks like, wow, you know. But no, I think it's very approachable.
That
and like
is,
I said, if the two different linens freaks you out, just don't do it on two different pieces of linen.
Right, right. Now, see, I would not do that. Because when we were looking at that at the Nashville market, my first thought was I would not do it, because it was the idea was two friends each stitching half, and then you bring it together.
Right.
And I would do it all on one. But I really like the design. It's a very nice design, but I would just do it all on one. But it is kind of a neat thing to join the two in the middle and have that kind of friendship thing. Because you could easily do that with a stitching friend. Each of you do half, and then and then fight over who gets the final piece. But
well, if you each do each half and then you swap, you know, like you swap a piece.
Yes.
So
all right.
You stitch basically the whole thing, and then you each swap a section so that I have one half is something I stitched, the other half is something you stitched, and then they have the same thing, but just the halves are different.
Okay, there we go. I'll work with that.
You know, so then everybody gets a piece, you know, gets a finished product.
Yeah.
But half is stitched by your friend.
Yep. It's really neat. So what are you stitching it on?
What they sent, the called for, which is...
whatever they sent, I just use it.
Whatever they said to use. It's 36 count. 36 count with one thread over two. So I am using one thread.
Look
whereas,
at you.
You know, my other 36 count projects and 37, I'm using two. And like I said, it's more of a primitive look.
Yeah.
So I'm going with the one. Let's see, picture this plus 36 count Heartland and Wren.
Okay.
So Heartland is more of a brownie with models. And then the Wren is kind of like a grayish greeny or something with lots of modeling. And
yeah. Cause that's what the model calls for that. So there's a distinct difference in halves. It's not like
right.
they're both stitched on the same linen, just
definitely different colors.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And I got the kit. My mom got me the kit for Christmas from Country Sampler.
Mm-hmm.
So it came with all of the threads and everything. So I didn't have to buy anything. It
Look
all
at you.
Came. Yeah.
Well, this it's very cool, and it's so interesting that you because. Yeah, you would not look at that and think meditative stitching at all. It's
no, you wouldn't. Yeah. And then you get off the charts, you look at them, and I started, and I'm like, well, this is just meditative stitching. I mean,
wow.
I get the first row in, and then I can base the rest of it, you know, just double check, do a quick little look and a double check, and make sure you're on the right, you know?
Yeah.
That you're, you go in diagonal and skip a row, and then just go to the end.
Just go.
Go to the end. Yeah. And then now... you've got that structure set up, so you fill in the second color. You really don't even have to look at all.
Just go. Excellent. Well, there we go. See the things we learned.
Yeah,
the things
I know.
Yep. That's great.
So, yep, that's one of my WIPGO projects, and I got it started.
Yay.
So now I have 5,000 million projects going. I'm working on Spring Hill again because Beth posted. She's working on it. I'm like, uh-oh.
Beth's on your butt. Beth's on your butt. She is coming fast, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so I have started. I am doing the... I'm working on that center tree thingy.
Uh-huh.
That, let's see. It's the tree that's coming out of the shovel handle that's stuck in the mound of dirt.
Okay.
Because, you know, that's the closest to the center and just... You know how I like to, I just count off my center grid. And,
right, right.
Yeah. Yep. Well, so best, it looks like best branches hunt, are.
Best hunting you down. I can tell you that. Yep.
Yep. Branches are springing from the shovel handle. You can see it used to be a shovel handle that was stuck in the top of the ground, and branches are sprouting from it.
Okay. It's really a great chart. It really is. Just
yeah.
a great one. And, yep, oh, it's so May. It's May, so the summer one should be coming soon.
My gosh, I know. Oh my goodness. I've got to hurry up and get this done so I can be ready.
Yeah, Spring Hill is the first of four charts from Karen Kluba, Rosewood Manor. And summer is coming. Summer Hill is coming in May. And if you go back when we launched it on January 1, the live video when Karen was with us, we got to see the summer one. And we've all been, okay, Spring Hill is really great, but give me that summer one.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So that's coming up. Yep.
Right.
Yeah, now see, and you've been doing so much stitching, and I've been doing essentially none.
Well, you're working on moving.
Yeah.
Selling your house. I mean, you've been otherwise busy, and that
Ooh,
takes
boy.
A lot of time.
Ooh, boy.
I mean, and then to try to sit down and stitch after all that craziness, I mean...
Yep.
It's got to be. I mean, that's where you need to pull out one of those meditative pieces.
I know, right? Yeah.
So that you can just not have to think and just wind down.
Yep.
If you can even get there. I mean, you just might be so frazzled.
My stuff's in disarray all over. It's in boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is out at Marga's cousin's where he has a big pole barn. We've been storing some out there because we just needed room to put stuff so we could show the house.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then it looked like we were going to not move because the market's so crazy. So then I moved everything into the spare bedroom that had become empty and was just going to set up there and do that till we got back in the market. And then a week ago, we got a call from our realtor in the St. Louis area that one of the houses we'd bid on, we'd offered on, you bid on them these days. You don't offer on them. You bid on them.
Yeah.
that the deal had fallen through and we were second in line. Did we want the place? And we were right. mentally, we had, I matter of fact, last weekend, or not 2 weekends ago now, time is flying on me. I had moved all my needlework and my working desk and was setting up recording things to do podcasts, equipment. And I was going to be here for a while because we thought we were going nowhere for a while. And then, that was Sunday, and then Monday he calls.
Yeah.
So we bought that place. We took it. We took the deal. And so then this past Friday, we were there for the inspection, And now we close on that at the end of May. Well, then we had taken our house off the market.
Mm-hmm.
So we immediately put it back on the market. And then just this past Sunday, it sold. And so it's under contract. And that ends closes the end of June. So we'll have time to close and then move without feeling like we have to get out of the house quickly. So that'll be great. And I'm really, when the inspection was the first time that we'd seen the place other than through our daughter's camera, her cell phone camera. So we were there, and we got there, and the inspector guy was there ahead of us. And we, you know, meet him, and he's, well, I'm doing this and this. And we said, do whatever, because we have not seen this place, so we got our own list of things to do. Mm-hmm. And but one of the things is a three bedroom townhouse, and so one bedroom is going to be Marga's office because we work at home, and then the other bedroom is going to be basically my studio. So my working desk for magazine work will be in there, but also needlework, all my needlework stuff will go in there, and then my recording gear. So I'll be able to set up the cool thing, so many cool things, because I'll be able to set up my podcast gear and leave it, because up till a couple of weeks ago when I moved into the spare bedroom, I would record at the foot of the bed in our bedroom, and so it was set up and take down every time we recorded.
Right, and that takes you so much more time.
Absolute pain. So now all that will be it will be all set up. And then I'm going to put acoustic panels in the room to kill off the echo, which you're probably hearing a little bit of echo right now.
That's not bad.
But so that'll kill that off. So I'll have a nice clean sound, be able to record, have all my needlework right there, and my working computer and all of that stuff all in the same room. And then going to put a TV in there. Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. So it's going to be really ideal. So that's what I've been working on in my head lately, and especially since we saw the house and saw it, you got to see the room, you know, and it has two windows in it. And so I'll have plenty of daylight. So then it's, all right, how am I going to set this up? What am I going to do? How am I going to make sure I have a lot of surface area? I want to have a lot of surface area, or as much as I can anyway, to spread things out. It's got a full-blown closet, so I'll be able to have shelves in there to store stuff. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. It's going to be, it's a real opportunity to build a working space from scratch and know what's going in there, not have it evolve.
But, yeah, that's nice.
You know what's going in there. So I'm pretty excited about it, and it'll take some time to figure it all out. But when it's all done, it should be a really great room to do all these things.
Since you won't have to be constantly taking down and setting up, that'll be more time to actually sit and stitch. And
think
you can
about that.
Relax more. You know, you don't have that, oh, I have to hurry up and get everything ready and make sure it's all done. It'll be just ready.
Yep. Yeah. It's going to be great.
And that'll be just a huge, huge weight off, you know?
Yep. And the other thing is lighting. I've been now thinking about, because in my corner down in the family room where I've been for a long time, lighting was adequate, but you know how when you lean over the table and you create shadows on your work?
Mm-hmm.
I hate that.
Yeah.
So,
that's a problem.
Yeah. So I'll be figuring out lighting to do so that I have lighting coming in from angles so I don't have that. And, I'm pretty excited about it. It's going to be, one of those opportunities you don't get very often to set up your own hobby and workspace and have it the way you want it. And
it'll help you be more productive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, it'll be great. That's awesome.
Yep. So pretty excited about that. So that'll
Fantastic.
Be, initially there'll be a big flurry, and then over the summer, then it'll evolve and we'll get it fixed up. So,
right.
Yep. So that was, stitching. No, I've been
But you're kind of, in a way, working on stitching. You're working on getting your stitching area set up so you can be productive in the future.
There we go. I'm writing that down right now, Jennifer.
Yeah.
I'm writing that down.
See? So it's not like you're not working on it. It's just you're working on a different aspect.
Yes. Okay. I'll go with that. Help me rationalize this. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's called finding the sunshine in the gloomy spot.
Yep.
Whatever.
So, but no, and you're right. You know, the stress of buying and selling we've all done it. It's exhausting. And and you sit down at night and it's like, ugh. No, I'm not moving. I'm just not moving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then and we got half the packing done, but you know, we thought we were going to be out of the market because it was so insane. So we kind of stopped packing. And you really can't do, you can only do so much. And then you have to start piling stuff in the house. Well, if people are coming through the house, you know, to look at it, you can't have a bunch of boxes sitting around. That's not good.
Right.
So we're kind of in limbo, but now that the house is under contract, full metal, and get them boxed up.
Yeah, if you don't want to, you know, some people either rent a pod or you can rent a storage facility. But if you don't want to do that, you know, I know that when we go to sell this house, I'm going to have to do, I mean, I'm going to have to move half the stuff out of everything.
You got trouble.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This place is so, I mean, you can't even see the rooms for all the stuff lining. It's just the house is too small.
Yeah. too small for your stash is what it is.
It is. And for my books, my bookshelf. I mean, you know.
Yeah, you got trouble.
I do. And, you know, have you ever shopped for furniture and tried to find furniture that'll fit your small house? If it's small enough to fit in your house, it's not comfortable.
Oh, is that how it goes?
It's like rock hard. Yes. It's a problem.
It's been 28 years since because we lived in a really small house. Our first one was really small.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's been 28 years, so I forgot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just forgot, but. Yeah, so we, because you know, we got everything is all this stuff, you know, that you throw away because you got to, first you got to get rid of all the stuff that you're not taking with you. That was the biggest project, 28 years of stuff. And now we're down to, I was pretty pleased because when the mover came through to see what he'd have to move, he says, boy, you guys don't have a whole lot of stuff. Good. Victory.
You're like, thank you.
Victory. Excellent. Nice. Just what we want to hear from the guy who we're paying to move our stuff. Excellent.
Oh, my gosh. See, both the big moves that we made, because the company that Yuri and worked for moved us both times. So when we moved out to the Netherlands, the company moved us. And then we moved back here, the company moved us. So we didn't have to hire or pay for the movers. They just came and did it. And it was fantastic. And I know this next time when we move, I'll tell you what, having the people come in and pack your whole house in one day is amazing. It is the best thing ever.
Oh, you let them pack it? Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had to for insurance purposes.
Oh, okay.
And because we were moving overseas, you know.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
So, and they had to go. So they packed everything. It's awesome.
Wow.
Awesome. And I'm spoiled now, and I want that again. Depending on how far we move, we'll see.
Yeah.
But
yep.
Yeah.
Well, I got I'd say 2/3 of my needlework stuff is already packed and in tubs, and that was huge. That was a huge project. The rest is
how many big tubs are we talking here?
I think it was four.
Let's tell.
I think it was four, and there's easily a fifth one. Of what I'm calling active stuff, and then then there's three stands, and then there's my two tool chests, each of them three drawers that are full of threads. So those I just have to lock up, and so there's that. Yeah, it's kind of
How are you moving your? Because I'm sure you have a bunch of needlepoint that's on frames.
Oh yeah, yeah. In the car. Taking it with me in the car.
Oh, okay. So they're just all, so how do you store those in the house? Are they stacked up against a wall or in a closet, kind of like vertical, all leaning against each other?
I have some shelving that my table is attached to, and then they're in that. But then that's a good question, because that's one of the things that's on my mind for the closet, where I can have storage, is some shelving where I can store those. Yes.
So do you store those laying down or standing up?
Standing on end.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't want any pressure on the canvas. So,
right, right. Yeah. That's what I was wondering.
Right. So I stand them on end. But yeah, so I'll be figuring that out too. That's going to be the room is not going to be so bad, I don't think. But the storage and getting it right so you don't have to redo it is going to be, and get it right so that you can add to it is going to be, right. You know, that's going to be the thing. So,
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Yes. I know. Yep.
It's going to be fun. So, sure. Yeah, it's, so that's coming up. And you're right. It is a bit of a rationalization, but you're right. It is another aspect of the hobby, setting up your workspace and to have a blank slate to be able to do really what I want with it is really going to be a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to the end result. And,
yeah. And to be able to have all of your cameras set up and maybe even everything in place and you don't have to constantly move it.
Right. Right.
That'll save you so much time and hassle. And you won't feel so rushed before shows and stuff. You can just be more relaxed.
Yep. Yeah, because you'd think, you know, I got a show coming up, I'd be set up. Well, you know, I got to set up on the bed, and of course, it's got to get taken down immediately afterwards because, you know, I just can't leave stuff sitting there. Mm-hmm. And then when we do the live shows, that's a complete setup and tear down every time too, because that's a different setup than if I'm just stitching. If we're stitching, then I'll have my phone as a camera over my project, and then I'll have my laptop that I used to record with, and that's the camera for my face, and that's also then on that screen how I see you guys on that. It's a little little 13 incher. And then all the pictures and stuff, that's on my iPad Pro. So I've got three devices going at once, you know, to deliver all that. Cause, you know, I've heard from a couple of people in the past, you know, when something doesn't go right in a show, in a live show, and I gave you a thumbs down cause it shouldn't happen. Yeah. Try a live show sometime, see how it goes when you got people from all different places. It doesn't always go smooth. It's just the way it is. But so those three are set up for that kind of a show. And of course that has to get torn down. And, so it'd be nice to have that. And then with a TV in the room, I'm thinking that if I set it up right, I might be able to have all of the, what's on the little laptop screen be on the TV.
Yeah.
And so that'll be fantastic because there's more real estate because I have stuff overlapping each other on that little screen all the time. And, so that I'm going to try and make that happen too. So
you're going to have like this whole cockpit set up.
I know. Exactly.
With, like, all these screens and cameras and, you know, and you can be able to leave it there because I have to move it all the time.
Jennifer, I cannot tell you how that statement right there is the biggest part. It really is. I can just leave it. I can set it up. It'll all be hooked up to a network. Just leave it. And
that'll be awesome. Yeah.
And know that it's there. The setup is consistent. It's going to be really great. And then to have all that and then just be able to go and do my stitching without all that stuff in the way is.
Even me just getting ready to do a show, I have to at least 15 minutes before.
Right.
Even longer. Right. I have to come in and just make sure I have everything set up, and I have stuff, like I have a room, but you still have to fiddle around.
Right.
I can't imagine with everything you have to put up and take down, it must take you an hour.
It's a setup. I mean, yeah, it is. I mean, the live shows are the biggest job, and it probably is an hour total time set up and tear down. And
And you could be spending that time stitching.
I've thought of that several times.
You're like, darn it. I want to be stitching.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing is if we do a live show like tonight where it's the three of us are stitching, You know, I set it up, and sometimes I get stitching in, but most of the time I don't. But then with this new setup, I'll be able to just turn away from it, the recording stuff, and just stitch. And mm-hmm. right now I can't do that. I got to tear everything down that's all surrounding the stitching so I can function. So,
right.
You know, I mean, these are all first world problems and spoiled brat problems. But still, it's, you know, it's a reality. And to do these shows, it takes all of that. And
it does.
So it's going to be really great to have that all set up. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Yep.
Super.
And the sound control. Control, so it'll be quiet, no echoing, all of it. Yeah.
Yeah, keep it all nice and neat and tidy. That's one thing I've discovered is I have, and I'm still being really good about when I have stuff come in, I put it away.
Yeah.
And when I'm done with a project, I'm keeping my area clear-ish, more clear than before, clear enough that I can still function in my space and do something and not feel like I have to, like, completely clean and rehaul the whole area before I can do the one thing I wanted to do.
Right. Yep.
You know, I've found that's key for me.
Yeah. No, I got to work. That's something I have to work at because I tend to get multiple things going and just leave them. And I need to start getting better at putting away so I may maintain ample workspace.
Yeah. Mine especially is when I'm, you know, because I do a lot of little things. So I'll get out a few threads and then I'll finish. And instead of just putting the threads on the table and being like, okay, I'll put those away in a little bit, grab my boxes, put them away immediately.
Yep. Because that's what I do. I'll put those away later, and then something else gets piled on it, and pretty soon
then you can't find it, and yeah. Yep. No, I've been good. Remember I started that, last?
Yeah.
The beginning of the year, around Christmas, I don't know, earlier this year,
yep.
a few months ago, and I've been keeping up with it.
Yeah.
I've been very strict with myself, put it away, and it's been working.
And that's... You know, when you get sloppy about that, that's wasting stitching time.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only should it have been put away, but because it wasn't and something else got piled on top of it or next to it, that's time you got to spend sorting that out. And instead of just sitting down and stitching. Yes. And that's.
Yeah. And whenever you're like, I know where all my DMC is, I should be able to go to my DMC box and pull it out. Because I know it's there. It's not floating around somewhere underneath some pile.
Right.
You know, and then you have to search through the piles and you're like, oh my gosh, I have to organize all these piles.
Yep.
I'm not doing that anymore. That's over.
Yep. Yeah,
I'm back to the days where everything, because in the past I had such, like, you know, small apartments or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I had to put stuff away.
Yeah. No choice. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's where I'm headed. A place for everything and everything in its place and put it there.
Yes.
Yep. That's where it's headed. Yep. So pretty excited about that. Got another month of time to pack and get moved, but we'll get there. It's going to be good. Yep.
Time's going to fly. It'll be here before you know it. Yep.
I'll be studying pictures of people's working spaces.
Right.
Yep. Want to see what people are doing. Steal some ideas. Yeah.
Yep. Is there an IKEA close to you guys?
Don't know.
IKEA is good for.
Well, that's my current working table and shelf unit that detaches on the end is IKEA, and it's their stuff is good stuff, and it's perfect for this kind
it
of
is.
You know, and there's lots of variety. Yeah.
For storage solutions, their stuff is perfect. I mean, both of my tables actually, my sewing table that I have my sewing machine on, and my cutting table are both IKEA bits where you can, you know, buy the tabletop and then you buy the legs separately.
Oh,
and then all the legs and stuff, they're adjustable height wise. So I can get it at just the right height and everything.
Yeah. See? Yeah.
Because I'm short and that's a problem for me. Most standard size stuff is too big for me because I'm short.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a good point too. That's another thing I need to put on my list is the ergonomics of it all.
Mm-hmm.
I need to keep that in mind too, because if I'm going to do it, I should be comfortable at all junctures. Yep.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yep.
Yep. So if I ever need to adjust my table height, I can.
You can.
I pretty much have it now where I want it, but it is adjustable if I need it to be.
Yep. All right. I got to put that on the list. Ergonomics. Yep.
So. Yep. And IKEA is great for that. They have fantastic solutions.
Yep. Well, that's probably where I'll be headed. I'm sure there's one in the St. Louis area, one or two. I don't have no doubt about that. Yeah. But
they've got them all over now.
Yeah. No doubt that's where I'll be headed. Yep. Yeah. So anyway, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Just got to get there. Just got to get there. Cool. All right.
Yeah.
I think we're calling it right there. Mm-hmm.
All righty.
Join us tonight. We'll be stitching and chatting, and Beth will be with us. And Sunday, we're going to have the Royal School of Needlework, Susan K. Williams. Now, she's the head person there, so this is our third time with her. Wonderful lady. Wow. Really, really enjoy talking with her. And then Jackie McDonald, who is heading up the Stitch Bank project, which is going to be maybe one of the best resources we have as stitchers when they get it done. I think I can say that. Yeah.
Wow.
It's impressive. It really is. So that's tonight and Sunday. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye.